Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Happy Tuesday and welcome to another edition of Global Leader Radio. Our topic for today's show is cultivating the high potential leader, and we're privileged to have a great example of leadership as our in-studio guest today, along with his daughter. And so he is a force in the world of startups, and he's experienced major success in his career. And additionally, he is a model of community service. So with that overview, we welcome Mark Wilson. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Alvin. Thanks for having me here today.
And you're quite welcome. And also Lauren.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. So Mark A. Wilson is the president and CEO of Atlanta-based E-Verify Incorporated, a privately held company specializing in delivering fast, web-powered workforce screening solutions and support systems for organizations across the globe. The year 2010 was a very good year, huh, Mark?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. Had a lot of things going on during the course of 2010, for sure.
Absolutely, and you earned a number of prestigious honors, including Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award and TIE Atlanta's 2010 Entrepreneur of the Year Award as well. So you serve on the Georgia Kaiser Permanente Executive Advisory Board, member of the Board of Visitors for Emory University, director on the board of Perceptus Incorporated, the Edge Connection, and the Entrepreneur in Residence at the MDBA Business Center, a program under Georgia Tech's Enterprise Innovation Institute. So, Lauren, what do you think of your dad when you hear all of those accolades? Isn't that something special?
Yeah, my whole family's pretty proud of him. He works hard for what he has.
Well, fantastic. So most importantly, out of all those awards, he's actually in studio here with us today to talk about his journey of leadership. So, again, Mark, in your own words, now you've heard me read the things that I've gotten from your bio, but in your own words, who is Mark Wilson?
Well, it's a pretty simple answer to that. I'd say Mark Wilson is a person that's, really committed to family, enjoy my family, try to do most things with them, and professionally focused on the people aspect, the people element of what it takes to have success, within an enterprise. And, socially, I'm not that interesting. I like playing golf. and as I've gotten older, it's pretty much relegated to that now, outside of the things that I do with my family, which does involve a fair amount of travel. We try to see as much of the world as we can.
Okay. So is home Georgia originally or no?
No, home is Fort Smith, Arkansas. I was born and raised there, and left there to attend college up in Ohio at Wilberforce University, where I graduated my undergraduate studies from.
Okay, well, great. Offline, we'll probably have to talk a little bit about Wilberforce. I have some connections to them as well.
Oh, good.
So I've read a quote from you saying that you select your business partners who have a track record of working with companies who are scaling rapidly and intent on disrupting the category. Yeah. So that sounds like a pretty good idea of exactly what it is you do and what you focus on with regard to business. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Well, I just think that, innovation is the key for any level of success that a leader or an entrepreneur will have. If you don't have an innovative approach to things, then the tendency is for stagnation. And with stagnation comes extinction. So I just think it's so important to align yourselves, as a leader, to align yourselves with those companies and partners that are going to have an innovative approach toward the market.
Okay. So I'm impressed with several of your business partners. But more importantly, your business partners are certainly impressed with you. So from my research, I understand you work with Magic Johnson Enterprises, one of our past guests, Dean Trevolino of the public relations firm Trevolino Keller, Frontier Capital, and a host of other top talent. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, Andrew Lindner, managing partner at Frontier Capital, said, and I paraphrase, that based upon the firsthand experience working with you as investors in your last company with Rala, and we'll talk a little bit more about Rala later.
Okay.
Andrew believes in your vision, and he's confident that your industry relationships and leadership skills can elevate E-Verifile's market position and help the company achieve phenomenal growth. So high praise for you and your leadership.
No, well, thank you. I'm appreciative of Andrew's comments. And, you know, I just think we've had the ability, or the opportunity, I should say, to work together, and he's gotten a chance to learn about how I think about executing on business plans and doing the things that are necessary for our company to have had the success that we've had. And it's led, it started there in Ryland. It's led to the current opportunity within E-Verifile. So I've just tried to do my best to support their interest as investors in our company and make sure that I hold my responsibilities, you know, in first place there and do the things, again, that would have us be successful and thereby Frontier and all of our partners to benefit from that success.
Well, good. I'm going to come back to what you were doing perhaps pre-Ryla, but interestingly enough, certainly we heard from Andrew Lintner in one of his quotes, and that's why he chose to work with you. But tell us a little bit about your philosophy of whom you choose to work with.
Yeah, it happens to be in the case of Andrew and some of the folks that you mentioned that they were financial partners. They were investors in our business. And, you know, and just speaking specifically about them, I wanted to make sure, again, that we had a partner that had a progressive mindset and that they would support me as I thought about doing things differently where our business was concerned, where our business model was concerned. And, you know, so I wasn't really looking for partners that were going to have a governance approach toward the relationship, but more okay. one that would be, you know, support driven and, you know, with the idea of helping me through whatever ways that they could to achieve success.
Well, that makes sense. Certainly basketball legend Irvin Magic Johnson of Magic Johnson Enterprises added that your leadership played a large role in his decision and his company's decision to invest. He said, and I quote, "I'm impressed with Mark's ability to grow Ryla and bring jobs to the communities in which he's operated." And he also added, "Partnering with him aligns perfectly with our fund's goals of providing, number one, access to capital, and certainly as well as serving underserved markets." So, again, high praise. So when it comes to that, you know, Magic Johnson says something I picked up on, would love you to comment on, that of serving underserved markets through what you were doing at Ryla as well as what you're doing now. Was this an initial focus for you, or did it evolve over time?
Yeah, it was always there. Okay. You know, I started Ryla with the intent of trying to execute on the experience that I'd gained in my previous employment with Dun & Bradstreet.
Okay.
And what I mean by execution was that I wanted to make a difference in the lives of the people that we were going to be creating opportunities for or jobs for. And so the impact that we've had on the community has been through the employment vehicle, not so much the nature of our business, but more the fact that we were growing the business and creating jobs and thereby providing the opportunity for us to have interaction and impact on those folks that were working for us.
Okay.
And then that extends down, as the domino effect would have, extends down into the community. Mm-hmm. You would have a person that would work for us. We support, develop them. They then, in turn, get to take that home and into the communities that they matriculate in. And so that was our approach, and we just kept people at top of mind and as a priority in the example of Ryla.
Well, and that makes you the perfect guest for cultivating the high potential leader, mm-hmm. With regard to our topic today. And so this is pretty interesting because I know from your bio and certainly during your incredible career, you've birthed or been a major contributor to at least two startups. Have there been more than that?
No. It's surprising to some that I never really had the desire or the ambition to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the corporate community for a long time. I mentioned Dun & Bradstreet. I was there in my last job, and it was probably the job that was most influential in terms of what I've done here since then. But I was 15 years there. And, you know, I just had an opportunity while working there to make a difference, to have an impact on, you know, the folks that were under my guidance as a leader there. And so I just took advantage of that and decided that if I had an opportunity to start a company and to extend what I was doing there at D&B as an entrepreneur, then that would be the approach that I would take. And as chance would have it, or fate would have it, I was afforded that opportunity when D&B decided that they were going to outsource the work that I had managed there. And it just led to me pursuing, you know, starting a company. And, we had some success in the first company and, you know, wound up selling that one. And I thought that fun and that it might be interesting to try something again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was approached by particularly Frontier Capital as the primary investor in the first company about my interest in pursuing a second one. And we just kind of talked about that in detail. One thing led to another. And then we found the partner had further discussions with the other partners that are in this deal now with Magic Johnson Enterprises, Yucaipa, and Plexus. So here we are. So it's just the two.
Okay. So certainly you've seen your share of perhaps all types of leaders, some effective and some not effective. Mm-hmm. So what is Mark Wilson's definition of leadership?
Well, you know, again, the focus for me and the essential perspective or place that you have to come from if you're going to be a good leader is a genuine care and concern for people. And nothing gets done really without them, and it doesn't really matter the level of automation that you introduce into whatever business. At the end of the day, it's going to, you know, come full circle to where a person or persons are important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just learned that, you know, a key tenet of effective leadership is, you know, really being able to, you know, to have an influence or an impact on people positively. And that leads to positive results in a company.
So so with that, are you kind of pointing out the converse for ineffective leaders, or are you thinking that there probably are some other issues with regard to ineffective that you've noticed?
I think there's a corollary there.
Okay.
I think ineffective leaders are those that don't necessarily understand the people element.
Okay.
I don't have a full appreciation for that. You know, you can have, I believe, short-term success not being an effective people manager or leader. But I believe it's just that, short term.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that there's very many real successes of folks that are, you know, I'm sure that there are some.
Mm-hmm.
There's no absolutes. But, you know, there's, you know, by and large, I don't think if you look to success, you don't find those folks that at some level don't understand the importance of people.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I'll pause for just a second and kind of turn my attention to your daughter here, to your left. And I know that, you know, in our pre-show conversation, you mentioned that you really follow a lot of football, right?
Yes.
So is that more college or is that pro?
More college. I'm a Falcons fan. I follow them, but not a lot of NFL.
Not a lot of NFL. So when you look back at leadership and what you've noticed, because certainly there's a lot of visitors coming into Auburn, because you're at Auburn, right?
Yes.
And your major is?
Communications.
So you're well-placed here today with us. So give me your thoughts on what effective leaders do, either at the coach level or the player level.
At the coach level, I agree with my dad. I feel like you have to be able to connect with the people on the team and understand where they're coming from to be able to be effective or have wins or whatever, and we don't seem to be doing that right now. But at the player level, I feel like you need to be able to, like, communicate with your teammates and figure out how they view things and how you guys can interact well together, because if there's problems on the team or whatever, you're never going to get anything accomplished. So I'm speaking that from being on a team with people. To have a goal, you guys have to achieve it, you guys have to be able to work together and communicate and understand what everybody feels.
So certainly a budding leader. So now how old are you at this point?
I'm 18.
18. Mark, I see your chest poked out just a little bit more. You must be extremely proud, because I'm proud sitting here as a father of three daughters. I mean, that was extremely articulate. And we will come back to you. So please hang on just a second here. So Mark, when you think about leadership style and the leader you've grown to become today, how has your leadership style evolved over time?
Well, I've always had a genuine love for people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at my core, I just love interacting and understanding, studying even people.
Mm-hmm.
And how it is that they react to certain situations. But I think while patience hasn't been something that a word that's been generally used to describe me, I think I've over time developed a certain level of patience and trust, particularly in senior levels of management, you know, where your tendency is to, you know, those that are effective leaders really want to do things and to, you know, to be involved in some, to some level, maybe so much so that it takes away from the effectiveness of senior leaders.
Okay,
I've gotten more patient and more and developed a higher level of trust for my leadership to do the things that they're responsible for doing.
Okay, well, you know, when you talk about that and really being involved at all levels of your organization, certainly birthing it, you know, coming from the corporate world 15 years, right?
Yes.
You know, and then now you're into a situation where it's really on you. How have you been able to maintain a healthy work-life balance?
Well, you just have to have that discipline. And so I really care and love my family and love the time that we spend together and always had, you know, the idea that I didn't want years where my children were concerned for those years to pass me by and have some regrets about not having spent the appropriate amount of time, the quality time with them. And the same thing with my wife, who I'm 25 years married to now. Mm. You just have to have a discipline about it and have it be important to you. And those things that are important to us, we tend to take care of. And so, you know, that's just how I've approached it.
So typically it's not just a matter of calendaring time with the family. It's actually putting on the high on the priority list such that it actually exists along with the business too, right?
That's exactly right. I enjoy my family. So, you know, again, you know, it hasn't been that hard for me. You know, when you get asked the question about work-life balance, it hasn't been that hard for me. While I'm driven to do the things that I need to do as to achieve success and to reach our goals from a business perspective, it's not at the expense of something that is important to me and that I do care about as much or more, my family.
Yeah, and you also mentioned the fact that you've been married for 25 years now, so congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
And certainly, it certainly helps to have the kind of partner that really helps you to continue to focus on the family and keeping that priority front and center, right?
Yeah, so I'm so glad that you said that and mentioned it, because I think for those leaders that are out there, you know, whether it's entrepreneurial or just in a corporate setting, support is really important, and you know, and having a partner that understands that the goals, you know, the amount of commitment or the things that you're doing toward your business, really at the end of it is aimed at, you know, benefits to the family and to the relationship. And so, you know, my wife is fully understands that and has been supportive over the years, and I think a large part of why there has been some level of success.
Well, fantastic. You know, it's safe to say that like most leaders, you face leadership challenges over your career, right?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. That's the case.
So can you talk a little bit about how you've leveraged perhaps those challenges to help you become even better?
Well, you know, again, in a marriage, and I'll just speak specifically about marriage, there's give and take. I mean, if there's to be a successful marriage. And I've learned from that. I've learned, you know, how it is that we interact at home, those situations where I can apply that to work, and vice versa. At work, the same thing. There are situations that, you know, where I've had to think and to handle situations differently, where there's been where that approach has been effective, that I've been able to carry home, you know, in the relationships with my children and my wife.
Yeah, that's important. So I've also read in your bio that you're pretty active in the community and you serve on several boards. So can you tell us why you think it's important for leaders to give back to the community?
Yeah, so none of us, even those that in our own minds think that the success that we have is because of just us, the fact is that's not the case. And because that's not the case, and that there is generally some other factors and folks that have been influential and helpful toward achieving the success, then I think it's incumbent upon us to understand that and to have, you know, a heart for giving back and really an appreciation for what's been given to you as a successful leader. And so that's how I think about it. I just think that, you know, it's important for me to not forget that not everything was about me. In fact, in my case, not very much of it was about just me. And so and maybe that's led to me having an even bigger heart for trying to be giving of my time and my talent, you know, for to help others.
Well, and so I'll turn back to Lauren, and I know you're certainly pursuing your degree over down at Auburn, but do you take time to do anything, I guess, entrepreneurial? Or are you doing anything in terms of working and giving back in the business world? Or?
Well, in high school, me and my brother were both involved with my parents' company, so over the summer we would like work there a little bit, and we knew a lot of the people that worked there. And as we grew older, we both worked at Must Ministries over the summer and did things like that. At school, I'm involved in a program called UPC, which is we basically plan events for the community and for Auburn for the students, like concerts and things like that. And then I'm also involved with something called Project Uplift, which is where you're basically a big sister or brother to a child in Auburn, and you basically are a mentor and help them with problems they're facing, and like basically come to you for advice. So I'm involved with both those things.
Well, that's powerful. So, you know, even at 18, you know you're making a difference, right?
Trying to.
Well, very good. Thank you. So, Mark, when we talk about the people side of business, obviously you've personified that in a big way. Can you talk a little bit about your approach to inspire and motivating some of the people that work with you and your companies and what you do to focus on and promote teamwork?
Well, you know, again, having a genuine concern and care for people, love for people, trying to inspire them is, you know, kind of it's just a natural byproduct of that. And, you know, while I try not to be too, I guess the word would be preachy, you know, to people about, you know, about certain things, I do feel like it's my responsibility for where I've learned things to share them with those folks that could learn from my experiences, and I try to try to communicate those in a way that would be inspiring and interesting to them, and so it's just important. And you know, I fancy myself as I miss my calling as a teacher, and so you know I have an interest in trying to share and you know and again try to do it in a way that's inspirational.
Okay, so is your style more of a kind of a hallway talk and a word or two, or is it more of a sit down in the office and let's spend some time really chatting? Or
it's a combination of them, but I manage a lot by walking around.
Okay,
and taking advantage of situations where, you know, I can shed light on a perspective or a viewpoint where that person may get benefit from it. And I just think that's effective. It's not scripted. It feels more genuine and heartfelt, and I think more effective.
Yeah, so we're talking with Mark Wilson, the president and CEO of Atlanta-based E-Verifile. It's a privately held company specializing in delivering fast, web-powered workforce screening solutions and support systems for organizations across the globe. So with regard to ideas, and I know that, you know, when it comes to entrepreneurs, you know, ideation is a really big deal, correct?
For sure. I mentioned in my comments at the beginning that, you know, I wanted to be aligned with partners that had an innovative mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ideas is what innovation is really all about. You have to have an environment that cultivates and embraces idea sharing and folks thinking about things differently. And so absolutely, you know, ideation is something that's just essential if you're going to, you know, continue to move your business forward.
So with regard to what you're doing today with E-Verifile, where do most of the great ideas come from in your organization? Does it really matter where they come from? Or is there some type of think tank that you put together there? Or how does this happen?
Well, it is important where the ideas come from, because I think it gives perspective on how it is that you should, you know, deal with whatever that idea is or how you should act upon it. And to put a finer point on that, you know, the ideas that come from customers are important, you know, it's a customer perspective on things, and you get a chance to understand what it is that they need, and you know, and you set your plans forward on trying to put something in place that would, you know, would act on that idea. But that could be a little bit different from, you know, that of a leader in the company, because they're not, you know, it's with a different perspective that where the idea is coming from. So we don't have any one place as to where we try to stay in contact with our clients, mm-hmm. so that we can understand and know the things that they're looking for. But then also on a regular and continuous basis, we're in touch with our people, and that would be every level of the organization, to try to solicit their input and ideas.
Okay, so do you slice it even more finely with regard to, you know, the ideas that come from customers? Because sometimes I've heard it said over the years that, you know, customers will tell you what they say they need, but sometimes it's not always really what they need. I mean, when you start digging beneath the covers, mm-hmm. could you care to comment on that? I see you smiling over there.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you know, it's in a lot of cases, you know, we want to pay close attention to our customers, but you do have to, you know, go the next level to understand the practicality of that. Sometimes, you know, it's a be careful what you ask for, you know, type scenario. And, you know, in a lot of cases, that's associated with the customer's viewpoint. So,
Good point. So let's switch gears and talk a little bit more about, again, your philosophy about leadership. So in your opinion, are leaders made or are leaders born?
It's just my opinion, but mm-hmm. I think there's innate qualities that people possess that, you know, that elevate them to the next level of leadership. Okay. I mean, I think you can teach basic principles and have folks follow them and be, you know, successful at some level. But I think if you're looking for exceptional next level leadership, a lot of the qualities that come with that are innate and born with.
Okay, and so would you happen to be able to instill a little bit of wisdom on us and tell our learning community a couple of the things that you think are most important with regard to leaders? We certainly know that the heart of all leadership, in your opinion, is a focus on people.
That's critical, I believe. I think being self-aware, understanding what the perception is of you and your leadership style on those that you're trying to lead or to have influence on. Mm-hmm. If you're disconnected to what that is, then it's hard, in my opinion, to be successful. You know, you can be great in your own mind.
A legend in your own mind.
Exactly. And not very effective. And so I think being self-aware and really having full understanding and appreciation for the strengths and weaknesses that you have as a leader is critically important toward success.
I like that answer. I think that dovetails perfectly with what we do at Kennesaw State University's Executive MBA program. We start with understanding self and do a series and a whole bevy of assessments, both large and small, everything from the Herman Brain Dominance Indicator to understanding your learning styles, such that you get it at your level and your individual perspective, and then you also are working in teams, so you get to hear my thoughts, you get to understand my style, and so that helps you to really get a better perspective of the team itself by looking through your own prism and vice versa. So, yeah, we definitely are in line with that. I just want to make sure we were good in terms of our program, aligned with some of the best leaders around.
It sounds like you absolutely are. If I'm, you know, if there's the belief that what I'm saying is has truth to it, then you guys are aligned perfectly.
Well, because there are a lot of people that share your opinion that it begins with the self. And so, well, let me ask you a second question. So are entrepreneurs made or born?
You know, again, there's levels. I think with anything, there's levels. I think you can teach basic principles about what it takes to operate and run a business and to be successful at some level, mm-hmm. with those taught qualities. But I think the next level of, you know, taking companies to, you know, to really high heights, those are skills that I think, in large part are born with.
Okay. Very good. So when you look largely at a lot of the businesses out there, and I'm sure you're narrowly focused certainly on making sure that E-Verifile is the best it can be. Mm-hmm. But when you think back, and of course you've sold Ryla now, But, you know, it was such a lot of people there. Do you kind of always keep your eye on it and just making sure that everything's still going the way it has gone in the past? Or how does a leader disconnect from a company he actually birthed before?
Well, you know, if you would have asked me that question right subsequent to the sale of the business, the answer would be very different than what it is now. Because I did, you know, start the business and grow it up. And so there's a certain level of connectedness to it that, you know, that's hard to separate from.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you move on and you find other interest and you start to get involved, and as I have in this new business, that becomes your focus. And while I'm hopeful of success for the company that we sold and that there's continued success there, we're really focused on the new opportunity and trying to make sure that we make a difference for our customers now within the services that we provide to them today. There's definitely enough to do there to keep my thought process and me occupied.
So as my mother would say, you have enough to say grace over, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So good stuff. So Mark, how important is it for employees, colleagues, and leadership of your organization and any organization to be lifelong learners?
Yeah, just having a mindset of being studious and inquisitive and really a thirst for knowledge is just crucial and essential for, you know, effectively growing a business and maintaining a business. You just just being successful, period.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want to learn and to, you know, to expand your horizon. I mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the show about socially or, you know, things that I like to do with my family. My wife and I have had this intent focus on trying to make sure that our children were exposed to the world.
Okay.
And that's so that they could learn more about the world and the different things that go on around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that was going to be something important for their growth and development as they decided what they were going to do in life. And that it would be, you know, it just to kind of fuel a desire to learn and to be more inquisitive about things. And so we've tried to take them wherever we could.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've been at least successful as far as your daughter here is concerned, because, again, very articulate. So tell me, Lauren, where have you been in the world?
We've been to Japan. We've been to Kenya in Africa, Tanzania in Africa. We've been to London, Paris, Rome.
Your passport
Florence.
Is more impressive than mine, certainly. Keep coming.
We've been to Mexico a few times. We've been to like Jamaica and Dominican Republic.
Spain.
Nice. Any more? Because you look like you're searching around a little bit. There might be one or two more places.
I'm trying to remember everywhere. That's off the top of my head.
Well, good stuff. So, Mark, what do you do to ensure your continual growth and development as a leader?
You and I were talking on sidebar before we started this interview, and I mentioned it's tough for me to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never gotten over that. I generally don't say no unless it's just an impossibility for me to go and to participate in things where I think I might learn something where it might not even be relevant for what it is that I'm doing at the time.
Okay.
And that's how I facilitate my learning, is that I just try to put myself in so many different situations where there's the possibility for me to learn.
Hmm. Very good. So what are some of the top lessons or top advice that you've learned as a leader, knowing that we've got, I always joke with you, Kevin, you know, we have a good time with this, that we have a few million listeners out there. You know, we want to give the people what they want, and they want to understand from the top leaders, you know, what is it? What are some of those top lessons that you've learned, you know, as you move through life and the things that you've applied that have helped to make you successful that you can then pass along to them?
So you want to treat people as you would like to be treated. That's
number one.
And that's you I think a basic. Yeah, you know, I think you should not forget, you know, the journey mm-hmm. and the things that have happened along the way that will allow you to, you know, to stay focused on not repeating and making mistakes, and to, you know, to even be stronger for the things that were done right, you know, over time. You know, no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. I mean, if you go about things thoroughly and trying to make sure that you do things the right way, and then there's a greater chance for you to be successful. And then I just say, you know, a focus and a commitment to those things that are important to you. And for me, that would be family.
Okay.
And making sure that you, you know, don't stray from the foundation for the things that help you to get through life day to day. And again, for me, it's my wife and children.
Good. So I want to pull on one of the threads of what you put out there. You know, you talked about not forgetting the journey and not repeating mistakes. And you said that with a certain level of passion. I even picked up on that. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those things that you make sure that Mark Wilson doesn't forget?
Well, you know, business-wise, there are more mistakes than I can recount. But, and, you know, day-to-day, I'm in a position where, you know, it's clear to me that I've been in the situation before.
Okay.
And I can recall how I handled that and whether or not it manifested itself in the way of a mistake
mm-hmm.
or if it was something that was good. And that will help me to you know, decide which direction I'm going to take for the situation that is at hand. So, you know, I don't know that there's any one that kind of just stands above the crowd, but there's a collective, body of mistakes that have been made over the years that I call on regularly.
Well, and I'll tell you that we had Derek Kayango, who's the founder of the Global Soap Project. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet Derek yet.
I have not.
Well, I'll facilitate that meeting. Extraordinary guy, and he came on the show early on, and probably in the July time frame. He's actually was a finalist for the 2011 CNN Heroes of the Year Award.
Oh, wow.
And so this is Global Soap Projects is a really big deal. You know, we spend a lot of time really chatting about failure and how people can really understand a lot about success through the lens of failure. And so so what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't think that you can get to a level of success without having, you know, failed at some level. I mean, it's just that, yeah, I don't know that there's perfection out there, mm-hmm. right? And so I think the trick is that when you do fail, that you have a resilient spirit and that you do pick yourself up and that you learn from whatever that failure is so that you, as you continue to move forward, that you draw on that and, again, not make the same mistakes and, you know, and to try to keep yourself from, you know, having failure because of a repeat. Something that you didn't learn from in the first place.
And it also, I think I'm hearing in your voice, too, the fact that just because you failed in the past is not a sentence that you will fail in the future given the same circumstances, right? You can approach it differently, so don't be afraid to go for it next time.
Yeah, fear shouldn't be a part of the equation at all.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't be. You know, you have to have a certain realism about your thought process. You know, so you don't want to be foolish,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you can't live with a spirit of fear.
Well, you know what I really like about that? I've actually come up with three words you said in a row, and they're all F words, you know, fear, mm-hmm. failure, and foolish. And right. So the three should not be mixed, and that is an insight. I like that.
Right.
You know, that whole point of the fact that, you know, you've gotten started on something, and it requires a certain level of experience to be able to push through. You know, you've reached right. a level of success, and certainly making certain that, you know, when you approach it the next time, that you're looking at it with a fresh set of eyes.
That's right.
And that's important. So, how does the cultivation of high potential talent in your organization really contribute to your company's competitive advantage?
Yeah, you know, I've tried a great deal of my joy today comes from the success of others, and in particular, my leadership team and those that I'm surrounded by. I want to see them successful, And so, you know, having an interest in cultivating their talent where I have experience and the ability to do so is just important to me mm-hmm. if I'm going to be successful or experience joy about them being successful. So, you know, it's just where I am. It's just a place that I am in life now. I want to try to do whatever I can to support, you know, growth and development and overall success for the people that I'm surrounded by.
So that's got to be fun for you to be able to I would imagine you have both in your organization. You have entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who and then, of course, obviously you have yourself as an entrepreneur. Have you ever broken off entrepreneurs from any of your companies to go start their own companies?
Well, this is a really good question and one I'm excited to talk about, because if I think about Ryla, I can think of at least three examples of folks that were working for me on my leadership team that have started their own businesses now, and that are out
wow.
really trying to do things that are entrepreneurial focused. Karen Clay was a person that was head of my marketing team, who now, in partnership with her husband, I believe, have an interior design, a blind company here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa Badgett, who has actually joined me in this new venture as my head of finance, her and her husband started a transportation company that continues to exist, that her husband runs while she's working for us today, are two examples of people that I'm pretty proud of, that they were able to branch out and do things for on their own. And I'm hopeful, and I think there were some things that came out of the Ryla experience that helped them to go forward and to take advantage of the opportunities that they're now pursuing.
So it's interesting that when we put on LinkedIn that we were having you come on, I started off by saying it was a pop quiz, and there were three questions that we wanted them to think about and that you would be answering. So if you don't mind taking a moment and indulging me, we've got to make good on a promise that I said that you'd be answering these questions.
No problem.
So pop quiz. In your opinion, what are the most important leadership competencies for managers?
We've talked about them, mm-hmm. you know, over and over
over
on this show,
again,
and hopefully we're getting a theme here, is that you have to have, you know, an appreciation and a care and concern for the people that you are responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be goal-driven. You have to have an appetite for wanting to and needing to make your goal. And I mentioned a minute ago about being self-aware. It's important at that level of leadership, too, that you understand what your strengths and weaknesses are, what the outside perception of you as a person and how you interact with people is, if you're to be successful, I believe.
Okay, and I think that you've also given us a tip to the second question, which is, which approach do we expect and would we want our people to cultivate the potential of future leaders in their company or community? And certainly I think one of the things you would dare say is that you want people to be concerned for people when, regardless of whether or not they're in the company or in the community. That's where you want them to start, to help to cultivate the potential of any future leaders behind them.
Yeah, it is. At the center of everything, again, is people. If you're in a sales situation, people buy from people.
Uh-huh.
You know, buying decisions are made by a person who's interested and I think connected in some way with the person that they're buying from.
That's right.
So, I mean, so just at every turn.
Every turn.
It comes back to this people element. And, you know, I just think it just makes good business sense to start your focus there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And think about what you've got to do to be able to enhance your skill there as well, right?
No question. So, okay. You know, again, and it leads to this whole point about being self-aware, because if you don't know that you're not connecting with people or how people, you know, necessarily view how you are, then it'll be hard to be effective where they're concerned.
Exactly right. So now my final question for you. So we're going to make this answer to your to my question available on our web posting at Global Leader Radio. So, Mark, which book at this point has most impacted your leadership ability?
Well, this is an easy answer, and I think one that's probably pretty common because I think it's a well-read book, and you hear people referencing it all the time, which I think would support my answer, and it's Good to Great.
Okay.
And
Jim Collins.
Yes, the Collins book. And And we read this in the last company in Ryla as a collectively as a leadership team. Hmm. And we had a process where we had sort of a book club, and it was a part of our weekly management meetings to talk about the reading. We had assigned readings for whatever book that we were reading at the time. And the one that I could see had the most impact on our leadership team, and for me particularly, was Good to Great.
Oh, thank you. So, Lauren, what are you reading these days?
Basically, my school books.
Good answer. Very good answer. So, Mark, it's been a great pleasure. So, on behalf of our learning community, we certainly learned a lot from actually you and your daughter here today, and we appreciate you accepting the invitation to join us. Mm-hmm. And so, I'd love to have you back on the show sometime, as if we can work out the schedule. Would that be a deal?
That's a deal, and I certainly enjoyed the time, and I'm appreciative and excited about the fact that Lauren was able to participate and share her thoughts on things. I appreciate you including her.
Absolutely. So with that response, would you please tell us how our learning community can contact you either by email and or by phone?
Sure. I'll give my email address. It's probably the easiest thing, and that's markw@everifile. That's everifile.com.
Fantastic. So with that response, we'll bring this edition of Global Leader Radio to a close. So we invite you to check our website by entering Global Leader Radio in your web browser search engine for previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. So also, please drop me an email at acm0996@kennesaw.edu if you have recommendations for guests. I'd enjoy hearing from you and hearing your thoughts. So join us again at this same location for the next edition of Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.